All right, nice to see everybody here. Welcome, welcome everyone. So it's the last daf of Masechet Shabbat. I'm going to begin on Kuf Mem Vav Amud Beis in the Mishnah, around the fifth wide line on Kuf Mem Vav 156b, around the fifth very wide line. Okay. So if Daf Yomi people may recall, nice to you as well, Avraham Menachem. So Daf Yomi people may recall is a machloket throughout Shas between the Tana Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda about Muksa. And the Gemara says that Reb Shimon lately muksa. Reb Shimon doesn't hold for muksa. It means he's got a narrower view of what's covered by muksa. And Reb Yehuda holds more expansive view. So one of the items that they have machloket about is muchan. Does something have to be designated before Shabbos for the purpose that I want to use it on Shabbos? According to Reb Yehuda, it has to be designated for that purpose. According to Reb Shimon, it doesn't. So we'll see the Mishnah example of this, and we'll see some cases in the Gemara, okay? So the Mishnah says, Matnitin mechachin adilun lefnei ha-behema. Dilum are gourds. The Gemara assumes that gourds are human food. Going into Shabbos, having gourds is human food. Nevertheless, the Tana says I can chop them up to give to a behema. Yet an nevela of neha klavim, the nevela is an animal that, say, was alive before Shabbos, presumably intended to be used as human food. Now it's a nevela that kills over and dies. So I can nevertheless, I can serve it to the animals. So this Tana agrees with Reb Shimon, lately muksa. In other words, even though it was muchan liadam, I'm using it for the purpose of the behema. That's like the Tana Reb Shimon. Reb Yehuda Omer, in lo ita nevela me erev Shabbat asur lefisha inam in a muchan. The Tana Reb Yehuda says if it wasn't a nevela on erev Shabbos, meaning if it wasn't designated as dog food before Shabbos, I can't use it as dog food on Shabbos. And presumably he would hold the same thing by the diluim. Okay, everybody got the Mishnah? Everybody good? All right, let me do a few lines in the Gemara, then we'll pause for some questions, all right? So the Gemara says, Itmar, and we have Arel Shecha Siman. This is a mnemonic device for the chamim that are coming up. The ayin is Ula, the resh is Rav, the lamed is Levi, and then we have Shecha is Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, and Ziri. Okay, so Arel Shecha Siman. Amar Ula halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Ula says the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, which is the more stringent opinion. And then parentheses we have Ushmuel Amar halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. You see, like when it's in parentheses, usually you're supposed to take it out. He says Va'af Rav savar halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Rav also held the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda, the more stringent opinion that it has to be muchan before Shabbos. He says why midikrachi dezuzei when it's krachi dezuzei or mats used to cover cargo merchandise on boats. Rashi takes the zuzei or boats and krachi or the mats. He says, so let's say I want to use those mats for my own purpose on Shabbos. In other words, the mats were designated for covering merchandise, but I want to use it just to sit on the mat on Shabbos, so I'm allowed to do it. So the Rav Asar, Rav prohibits it, and Shmuel Shari, Shmuel permits it. So it means the mats have been one designation before Shabbos, a prohibited designation. Can I transfer it over on Shabbos? So Rav says, no. That's like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. He says Vav Levi Savar Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, and Levi also held the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda. Ki had the Levi like an incident with Levi. Ki havu maiti treifat lekamei biyom tava. Let's say they would shecht an animal on Yontiv. Under certain circumstances, you're allowed to shecht an animal on Yontiv. So when they would shecht an animal, they had a question, is it a treifa? So they bring the animal to show it to him. Lo habachazi lo elikiyativ akilkalita. He would only look at it if he was like in the garbage dump. In other words, he says, da amar dilman lomit kashra. Maybe I'll determine that it's not kosher, it's treif. He says, v'afil l'klavim l'chazia. So it was muchan li'adam. The animal going into Yontiv was designated as human food. Now it's shechted. Now if I determine it's treif, it's not ru'i for human food anymore. It's ru'i for the animals. But I hold it was muchan li'adam lo havi muchan l'klavim. So it was muchan for the person, it's not muchan for the klavim. So you see clearly the Levi holds like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. U'shmuel amar halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Shmuel holds that halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, which is the more lenient opinion. Bab Ziri sabar halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Ziri also follows like Rabbi Shimon. Titnan, excuse me, we learn in Mishnah Masechet Beah, Behema shemet lo yizena mimakoma, that if a behema dies, you shouldn't move it from its place. Meaning, again, the behema, I view it as being human food. Now it died. It's a nevela. So the simple shot in the Mishnah would be, lo yizena mimakoma, because I can't use it for dog food. It was muchan liadam. But he says Vatir Gemon Ziri. Ziri explains the Mishnah differently. The Behemoth Kachim. He says the Mishnah is talking about Behemoth Kachim. Behemoth Kachim, once it dies, so I can't use it and the animals can't use it. It's in a different category. It's Behemoth Kachim. Aval Bechulin Shapir Dami. But the way Ziri is explaining the Mishnah, it would be allowed to be used for animal food. In other words, the fact that it was designated as human food doesn't mean that I can't use it as animal food. Va'af Rabbi Yochanan Amar Halachik Rav Shimon. Even Rabbi Yochanan holds halachas like Rav Shimon. Okay, let me just pause for a second and see if anybody's got any questions what we did so far. Let's just summarize again briefly. Okay, so the basic idea we're saying is Machloket Tanai between Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has the expansive view of Muksa. Rav Shimon has the more narrow view of Muksa. And one idea that they point of dispute is whether if Muchan Liadam is Muchan Leklavim, if something was designated as human food going into Shabbos or Yantiv, can I now use it as dog food? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, not. According to Rabbi Shimon, yes. Okay, who's got questions, comments to us, anything we did so far? Anybody? Everybody good? All right, so I'm going to move on. Okay, so let me move on. Okay, now, the bottom line. Everybody with me? So we're on Kuf Nun Vavam Bay is the bottom line. And it's nice having everybody here. It's real chizuk. When you have more people here, it's like mechazek, you know, it's like Rashi says, it's synergistic. You know, Rabhu Mikem Asra Meyam Meyam Mikem Revai Yerdofu. You know, like 10 will chase 100, and then Asra Meyam Mikem Revai Yerdofu. But 100 will pursue 10,000, right? Revaz 10,000 or 20,000? We have Dr. Shippen. Revaz is 10,000, right? So Revaz 10,000. So the proportions aren't the same. So he says, Rashi says, you can't compare what a small number of people do it to a larger number of people. It's not just arithmetic. It's geometric. It's like everything bursts out. It's like a nuclear reaction. All right. So let's see further than Gemara. So we're on the bottom line. So the Gemara says, so we said that Rabbi Yochanan holds halachas like Rabbi Shimon, which is a lenient opinion. So the Gemara says, "Umiyamar Rabbi Yochanan hachi." Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? Ba'am Rabbi Yochanan halachas Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan has a klal, the halacha follows the Stam Mishnah. So now we're saying Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Shimon, and he also holds halachas like a Stam Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to show a Stam Mishnah doesn't seem to be like Rabbi Shimon. He says, "Utsan on the top line in Kufdan Zayin Amar Aleph." Utnan. Now this mission is a Masechet Beya. Eimavakin Eitzim and Akorod Veloman HaKorish and Ishbara B'Yom Tov. So if I have wood, that's piled up for construction purposes, but now I want to use it as fuel, and I'm allowed to throw fuel into the fire on Yontiv. So the Tana Mishnah says, Eimavakin Eitzim and Akorod. I can't chop the wood. That wood was designated like construction wood, and now I want to use it for fuel wood. So it's not Muchan for the fuel. So aim of Akin Aitzim and Akorot, Volomina Korish Nishbara, or from a beam that broke on Yantiv, I figured the beam broke, I don't need it anymore. Now I'll use it for fuel. He says, so that's a Stam Mishnah. And Rabbi Yochanan, we said Paskin's like Rabbi Shimon, but here we have a Stam Mishnah seems to be like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Ahu Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Matnila. Rabbi Yochanan learns, in that version of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan learns that that's Divrei Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. He doesn't learn that it's a Stam Mishnah. He learns that the Mishnah says it's according to one Tana, but he doesn't Paskin like that Mishnah. Okay, now the Gemara brings other other Mishnayot that are going to pose a problem for Rabbi Yochanan that seem to be not like Rabbi Shimon. Again, Rabbi Yochanan holds halacha like a Stam Mishnah, and now we're going to have Stam Mishnah that seem like Rabbi Yehuda. So it's Tashma, so we have another Mishnah. It says, Marchilin ba'reimet ateven, avalo ba'etzim shibamuksa, that I have some straw. We think that the straw is like rotten straw. It's not good for animal fodder anymore, but I could use it for fuel. So that I could use, because that's already designated as fuel. It's, again, it's talking about Yantiv. Avalo be'etzim shibamuksa, but I can't use wood in the muksa. Muksa is like the storage house. I'm like storing it for months at a time in the wood there. So that wood, I'm not thinking I'm going to use for fuel on Shabbos, on Yantiv. I'm not thinking I'm using it at all. So the Tana Mishnah says it wasn't Muchan going into Yantiv, so I can't use it. That sounds like a Stam Mishnah, and that looks like it's like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan says it should be like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Hatam ba'arzi ba'ashuchi, demosa machmar chisaron kis, afil Rabbi Shimon modus. So the Gemara says that wood is not talking about Stam wood. That's talking about cedar wood, and there's like male cedar wood and female cedar wood, and I'm an expert on trees. Maybe somebody will explain the male and the female part a little bit. But that, in other words, it's high quality wood. So it's high quality wood. So that's a category of muksa machman chisaron kis. In other words, something very valuable. I only want it used for the purpose that is designated. You know, like this is like I told you, like the shchita knife. Like I have this knife. You know, I don't want any pegimot in it. I only want to use it for that purpose. That's a category of muksa. So it's muksa machmad chisaron kis. So since it's like the cedar wood, that's very valuable wood. I only want to use whatever cedar wood is used. I don't know, make furniture, whatever. But I don't want to use this fuel. So I can't. So even Reb Shimon agrees that that's a form of muksa. So that Mishnah is in accordance with Reb Shimon. Okay, let's do a few more lines. We'll take some questions when we get to the Mishnah. Okay, so Tashma. So we quote. Now we quote another Mishnah, also Masechet Beah. Ein mashkim mishochin in midbariot. We don't give water and shech the midbariot. Midbariot are the range animals. He says, aval mashkin mishochin in a baitot. But we could give water and shech the baitot, or like the domestic animals. Whereas I have an animal, and you know, some of them they go ranging far away, and some hang out near the house. So so I would give water. So the Gemara explains to give the water so that the hide will come off more easily. So I don't know, maybe we'll hear from Dr. Parver about that. But so it says that on Yontiv I can't shecht the midbariot. The range animals I can't shecht because my mind's not on them. They're off, you know, taking the whole spatzir. But I could shecht the baitot. So that seems like Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, it's something that wasn't mukhan, it wasn't designated for, you know, shechting before Yontiv. I don't have my mind on it. It's going off in, you know, the Beit HaRayin. So the Gemara says that seems not like the way. So again, Rabbi Yochanan Paschal like Rabbi Shimon, that Mishnah seems like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the stira. Okay, we're again. So Rabbi Yochanan says we Paschal like the Tana Rabbi Shimon, which is the lenient way. But Rabbi Yochanan also says Halacha is like a Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, and here we have an anonymous Mishnah, but it seems like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So it's not working out well for Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan Stam Achrina Ashkach. So the Gemara says you're right. That Mishnah does not work out well for Rabbi Yochanan. But there's another Stam Mishnah that does work out well. So I have one Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda and another Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, now you have to be patient with this Mishnah. We'll see as we get into it. So the Mishnah says, Beit Shammai Yomrim, Magbin Me'al Shulchan Atzmodu Klipin. Beit Shammai says we can lift off the table, whether it's Shabbos or Yontif, bones and peels. So the way, there's a Tosfos earlier on Masechta that takes it that this was human food, and now once there's only bones and klipin left, it's only for the animals. So before it had the status of human food, now it has the status of animal food. So the Tana Kama, which is Beit Shammai, says, has a lenient opinion. The Gemara is going to flip it in a minute. That notwithstanding the fact that it was human food going into Shabbos Riyantiv, and now it's animal food, I want to use it for the animals, it's okay. In other words, I'm not worried about Muchan. I mean, it's like it's in accordance with the Tana Reb Shimon. Uveit Hillomrim, Misalakata Tabla Kulu Minara. Beit Hillel holds no, it's muksa, and Dafyomi people know this is Tiltul Minatzad. I use something else to move the muksa item. So I have the table top. It's like we set a board that's on the table. It was one shot, and I'll shake the board, and the things will fall off, and that's what I could do. He says, but Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says concerning that Mishnah, Anu ein lano beit shamay k'reb Yehuda beit Hillel k'reb Shimon, that the sheet would have to be flipped over. In other words, our Masorah is that Beit Shammai is the one who holds like Reb Yehuda. Then there was that which we had in the Mishnah attributed to Beit Hillel, Rav Nachman says is really Beit Shammai, and the more lenient opinion that was attributed to the Mishnah to Beit Shammai, Rav Nachman says should be Beit Hillel. So we take it, we know the halacha is always like Beit Hillel compared to Beit Shammai. So that's the equivalent of a Stam Mishnah. Stam Mishnah has an anonymous statement, in other words, that's the halacha like a Stam Mishnah. But Beit Hillel is the legal equivalent of a Stam Mishnah because the halacha is always like Beit Hillel. So that being the case, so Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan has another Stam Mishnah. He has a Mishnah that Beit Hillel articulates the position according to Reb Shimon. All right. Any questions we did so far? Everybody good? Everybody happy? All right. So I'm going to move on. Okay. So let's see. Now the Gemara says Pliyiba Rabach of Ravina. Now there are other machlokot with muksa between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, and there are also other machlokot in Shas between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Daf Yomi, people may recall, right? I'm sure you remember this, Fern. Like, Eino Mitkaven, right? Davar Sheino Mitkaven. Reb Shimon says it's mutar, and Reb Yehuda says not. And then Malacha Shein Estricha Legufa. Reb Yehuda says you're Chayev, and Reb Shimon holds you're Patur. And then there are different areas of Muksa that one holds and the other one doesn't hold. So let's take a look in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Pli Yibah Ravach of Ravina, Chadamar B'chola Shabbat Kula Halacha K'Reb Shimon. In all of the areas of Shabbos, Halacha follows Reb Shimon. So some of Farshim want to say that it means, like what I just said, like not just by Muksa, but even by Davar Shein Mitkaven and by Malacha Shein Estricha Legufa. Malacha is always like Reb Shimon. He says, Labar Mi Muksa Machmat Mius, except for Muksa Machmat Mius. Muksa Machmat Mius is I have something like that became disgusting, and you know I want to use it on Shabbos, but it's like so disgusting, so I'm not allowed to use it because it's not really fit for anything. He says, "Umay niu." What would be an example of that? Ner yashan. Ner here means like a candle holder. I have a candle holder. It became all far schmutzed, so that would be a type of muksa. So over there, Rabbi Yehuda holds from the muksa, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from the muksa. So the Gemara says that in this the halacha, everything's like Rabbi Shimon except muksa machmat mius. That's one opinion. B'chadamar, b'muksa machmat mius, nami halacha Rabbi Shimon. One says, no, muksa machmat mius, the halacha also was like Rabbi Shimon, and the nami is not muksa. He says, labar mi muksa machmat isur. Muksa machmat isur would be a different situation. So the Gemara is going to explain. Umayini, what's muksa machmat isur? Ner shehidliku ba bota Shabbat. In other words, if I lit a candle that Shabbos, so when the candle is burning, so the candle is considered isur. I'm not allowed to move the light. And then the receptacle is a basis, the davar asur. It's a basis for it. So even after the candle is burning the whole bein hashmashot, and then the candle goes out, but the keli still retains its status as a basis of davar asur. So that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda that's muksa. Avol muksa machmat chisaron kis, afil Reb Shimon moda. But muksa machmat chisaron kis, there, even Reb Shimon agrees with that, and that we mentioned earlier, muksa machmat chisaron kis, something I'm very medakdek on, that I only want it used for that purpose. Remember, like, that was the wood above. He says, I mentioned the shechita knife. That non, because we learned in the Mishnah, kol kelim nitalim b'Shabbat, all kelim can be moved on Shabbos, chutz mimeser hagadol, the large saw, because I'm very medakdek, I don't want that saw used for anything, so it's ipso facto, it's muksa machmat, chisaron kis. He says, v'yate shamachareisha, like the blade of a plow. I'm very machpid on that blade of the plow, so I can't use. So the other kalim, when he says, well, the kalim can be moved, so he means mistama sorakufa makomo, right? What does he say here? Yeah. Yeah. But I would say it means like sorakufa makomo. It's klish lamachto le'isur. But he's saying this is a different category of muksa. This is muksa machmat chisaron kis. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? We have such a quiet group here tonight. Such a quiet group. Everybody's always ripping into me every night here. What's up? No, nobody has anything. What's up, Fern?
We're getting ready for Erevin.
Oh, okay. All right, let's see further. All right, so now we made it. It's our last Mishnah in Masechet Shabbat. Well, yeshkoach to all of you. We're going in for the kill now. You hear, you feel the... you know, the suspense.
Was right. This Masechta all on Zoom? Did we start this Masechta on Zoom?
I'll come in a few minutes. Okay, not quite, but close to it. Okay, let's take a look. So, Manitin, the Mishnah says, now, if you all remember, there's Hafarat Nedarim and Hatarat Nedarim. So, Hafarat Nedarim is, let's say, a husband with his wife or a father with his daughter. They can annul the vow. That's Hafarat Nedarim is from now going forward, right? And then Hatarat Nedarim is like ab initio, it doesn't exist. So he says, Mefirin Nedarim b'Shabbat, a person could do Hafarat Nedarim on Shabbos. In other words, a husband or a father can be Mefir Nedarim on Shabbos, can nullify it. In other words, the Torah says that if B'yom Shamo, the day he hears of the Neder, he could say, that's it, I'm Mefir the Neder. But it has to be neder that relates to Dvarim Shebeino Lebeina or Inui Nefesh. It's only limited Nedarim, the topic, and wait for Masechet Nedarim, and you'll get more on that. So he says, so Mefirin Nedarim Shabbos, on Shabbos you can be made for neder. V'nishalin Nedarim Shein L'Tzorach HaShabbat. And you could also do a Shelas Chacham for nedarim that are the sorach of Shabbos. If a person took a neder that he's ostering food on him for Shabbos, so his enjoyment of Shabbos is directly impacted by that. So he could do a shelas chacham on Shabbos, and the chacham can be matir the neder. He says, but it's only if it's sorach Shabbos. Upokhin and ha'ma'or, daf yom yuhi, people had this, we can close the window. Again, the window of Zman Chazal, which is a hole in the wall, I can take the, you know, the piece of wood and close the window. We don't view that as bona, remember? He says, umoded in a matlit, we can measure like a rag to determine if it's the minimum shear that it's tamei, because let's say a sheretz touched the rag, now the rag touches taharot, I can measure the rag to see what the size of the rag is, if it's the minimum shear to transmit tumah. Umoded in a mikvah, I can also measure a mikvah. Now, normally we don't measure things on Shabbos. Measuring could be an uvda dechol. I thought it could also, that's what the Arsul mentioned. I thought it's also mimso cheftzach, I thought. But anyway, but the point is that we don't measure things on Shabbos. But here we do measure. We'll see in a minute. Umasa bimei aviv shu rabbi tzadok bimei abba shu ben batnit shepakura ma'or betfiach. There was an incident that took place, and the Gemara will elaborate this incident, so you have to be a little patient with the story. They closed off like a hole in the wall with tfiach, is like a flask, like an earthenware flask. He says, the kashu and a makeda begemi, and they tied this other earthenware vessel with like a reed strand, the indam yesh begigit poteach tefach. To know if there was like a space for poteach tefach in a barrel, imlav. So the Gemara will explain the story. The Gemara is going to explain the way Rashi understands it. There was a dead body between two buildings in an alleyway, and it's a question of ohel, but we'll get to it in a little bit. He says, midivrem lamanu, from their words, we learn, shepokin, that you're allowed to close a window on Shabbos, seal the window. Umodin, you can measure, v'kosher mishabbos. You can tie on Shabbos if it's for tzorech mitzvah. Okay, who's got questions, comments, to us that we did in the Mishnah? Everybody good? All right, let me keep moving. Welcome, Rabbi Yismach. Nice to have you, Rabbi Yismach. Always a kavod. So we're on Kuftan Zayim and Aleph, right after the Mishnah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ibailahu, the question was asked in the base medrash, Hafar bein letzorach uvein shelo letzorach, ushid letzorach in shelo letzorach lo. So now, in the Mishnah had two halachot, the first line. One was mefirim nedarim b'Shabbos, a blanket statement that you could do hafarat nedarim on Shabbos, that the father or the husband could do hafarat nedarim. Then the second halacha was, v'nishalim nedarim shin letzorach haShabbos, a person can make a she'ilas chacham concerning a neder if the topic relates to Tzorach Shabbos. So, Lechora, if they were both only Tzorach Shabbos, if the Tana Mishnah required for a Hafara that it be the Tzorach Shabbos, so I would expect the Tana to say that Mefirim v'nishal l'nedarim shein l'tzorach haShabbat. You should put it all in one sentence, that Mefirim v'nishal l'nedarim shein l'tzorach haShabbos. This is why Rashi says it. But the Tana doesn't do that. He says, first blanket, mefirim nedarim b'Shabbos, and then the second statement, when it comes to Nishalim, if it's a Tzorach HaShabbos, then I can do, for, can do it. So the Gemara says, Ibailu, hafara bein l'tzorach bein l'shalot tzorach. So is hafara, does the Tana mean, hafara, I can always do hafara, whether it relates to Tzorach Shabbos or doesn't relate to Tzorach Shabbos. He says, u'she'el l'tzorach in shalot tzorach lo. But she'ela, that's only if it's the Tzorach Shabbos, otherwise not. And that's why the Tana divides it into two different phrases, because it's two different dinim. Odilma, or perhaps, hafara nami the sorach in shlo sorach lo. Or perhaps hafara is only permissible if it's the sorach, has to relate to something that relates to Shabbos. He says, v'had the kapali lehu mehadade, and the reason Tana puts it in two different clauses, mishum da hafara ain't sorach beitin, or shel sricha beitin. Because hafara doesn't require bezdin, shel requires a bezdin, so he puts it in two different phrases. Now, the issue with the hafara and the darim, the sorach Shabbos, so, it's, some want to say it's like a tircha. It's a tircha to ask a chacham to do a shela of a neder on Shabbos. So it was only going to do it if it's tzorach haShabbos. And then there's also the svar to say that's mimso cheftzacha. You're pursuing your mundane needs. So if it's tzorach Shabbos, not. But if it's so, it's a problem mimso cheftzacha. All right, let's take a look back on the Gemara.
When you say it's a tircha, is the asking the tircha or is the answering the tircha?
Yeah, I would say it's like this. It's like you want people to be doing a certain things on Shabbos and not other things on Shabbos. So you're getting a chacham and the bali din as well, or the person seeking the hatara involved in a whole process, which is like, you know, may not be so Shabbistic. In other words, I don't want people spending time like in a court case on Shabbos. And so now, so it's like a tircha. In other words, tircha means things that you're doing things that I don't want you to be doing on Shabbos. So that could be, it's like a tircha. You're dragging me away from my ruchni experience in Shabbos to do all this. Or you could say mimso chefzcha. It's like my mundane affairs.
So is it under the chol maybe? Under the chol.
So here, the article didn't mention Uvda Dechol in reference to this. I can't say with certainty. Again, the Gemara doesn't mention explicitly, so the Rishonim weigh in as to what they think the issue is. But
it's like mental mutta, right? It's not physical, tangible, but it's in your brain. It's mental mutta.
It's really just the same as what we've been saying, like the Gemara says about like feeding animals, like that's a tircha. It's not such a tircha to feed animals, but we don't want you doing that on Shabbos. So what we don't want you to do is like a tircha. In other words, we want you to be focused on some things on Shabbos and not other things on Shabbos. So if the things we don't want you to do, that's viewed as a tircha. That's what I would say. All right, now let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so the question is, so do they both have to be the Tzorech or not? Tashma. So Tashma, the Tani Zuti de Beira Papa. So we're gonna bring a proof. Zuti taught a Brisa, and Zuti was from the base medicine of Papa, Mefir and Darim Bishabbat Latsuracha Shabbat. That in the Brisa it says you could do Hafarat Nadarim if the subject of the neder, again, it's getting a lot of qualifications because hafara, it has to be devarim beino lebeina that relates to the marital relationship, or inui nefesh. So now we're saying it also has to be l'tzorach haShabbos. So in other words, like if she took a neder, let's see, she's not going to eat, the food will be prohibited to her on Shabbos. So that could, you know, impact Shabbos, and maybe that also relates to inui nefesh. So he says here, Tani Zuti de Beira Papa, Mefir and Darm Shabbat, Lesorach HaShabbat. So you could do a far and Darm Lesorach HaShabbat, Lesorach HaShabbat, and Lesorach HaShabbat Lo. So that says, Mefurash, in that Braisa, that both Hafar and Darim, and we know Hatar and Darim from the Mishnah, could only be done on Shabbos if it's Lesorach HaShabbos. That's the way it's going. Now, the Gemara says, Lishna Achrina, there's a different version of this. Ibai Lahu, Lesorach Atarvayu Katani, are they both, you know, have to be only the Tzorech, it has to relate to a need for Shabbos. Rishalo the Tzorech lo. Alma Hafar Nadarim may 8 la 8. So now, the Gemara is assuming that you would always have to get a shot at Hafar Nadarim. So the Torah says you have Hafar Nadarim biyom shamoa isha, on the day that he hears of it, that day. So when it says biyom shamoa isha, what does that day mean? Does that mean I have 24 hours from the time I hear of it? Is that what it means? Or does it mean till the end of that calendar, till the end of that calendar day, till nightfall that day? So if I hear about something at 12 noon on Shabbos, does that mean I, the husband or the father, have 24 hours to do hafara? So I have till 12 noon on Sunday? Or does it mean whenever I hear about it, I only have till nightfall and that's it? So the Gemara says that it's only litzorech. So the Gemara says, Alma hafar nadarim mi eight la'eid. So the Gemara wants to extrapolate from there. It must be that Hafar Nadarim is May 8 La'eid, because it can't be that you'd be cut out from the ability, we think, to do Hafar Nadarim. So if I can only do Hafar Nadarim on Shabbos, Sorcha Shabbos, must be that I have 24 hours to do it, and then presumably there'd be a period after Shabbos when I could still do Hafar Nadarim. O Dilma, Kikatani Litzorach Asha'eluhu de Katani, or perhaps when it says Litzorach, that only relates to She'elus Chacham, that has to be Litzorach HaShabbos. He says, of Al Hafar Nadarim, when it comes to Hafara, Afilu Shalol Litzorach. Hafar Nadarim can even be Shalol Litzorach, you know, for any reason I could do it. Alma Hafar Nadarim Kol Hayom. So the Gemara assumes within that Sa'ad that Hafar Nadarim would only be that day. In other words, you could do the hafara, and you could do the hafara on any topic. In other words, you have an open door to do hafara, but with that, you only have that day to do it. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Tashma, we bring a proof. The Tani Rav Zuti Debei Rav Papi. Again, the same Brisa that Rav Zuti taught a Brisa, and Rav Zuti was from the base medrash of Papi. Mefir Nadarim b'Shabbat l'tzorach haShabbat. You could do Hafar Nadarim on Shabbos l'tzorach haShabbos, which relates to the need of Shabbos, l'tzorach Shabbat in, l'tzorach Shabbos lo. In other words, if we're limiting it to what you could do, then Alma hafar nedarim yet la'e. So as a corollary of that, it must be you have hafar nedarim 24 hours. And it can't be that you're limited and you'll never be able to do hafara. It can't be that we're saying you can only do hafar nedarim sorcha Shabbos, and now that's it. So now Shabbos goes, so you never had a chance to do hafara. So you have 24 hours to do hafara. That's what the Gemara thinks. So Amar Rav Ashi, Bahanan Tanan, Rav Ashi says, but we learn in the Mishnah, Hafar Nedarim Kol Yom. We learn in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is a Masechet Nedarim, Hafar Nedarim is that day till nightfall. He says, V'yesh B'davar Lahakel Lahachmir, there's a lenient aspect to it and a stringent aspect, meaning sometimes you get a lot of time, sometimes a little time. He says, Ketza Nadra Lele Shabbat, that if the woman makes a neder on Friday night, so Mayfair Lele Shabbat V'yom Shabbat Techshach, you have a lot of time, relatively speaking, to do the Hafar. I got all Friday night to think it over, all Shabbos to think it over, you know, Shabbos afternoon to think it over. Nadra im Chashecha, but if she makes a neder near nightfall on Shabbos afternoon, he says, Mayfair Ad Shlo Techshach. He says, then he only has till nightfall. She'im lo hefer mishe chashecha, if she didn't do Hafar after nightfall, eni yechol hafer. So here we have one Mishnah here, or one Braisa, that seems to teach me that Hafara is only the Sorech, and as a correlate, you have 24 hours to do Hafara, and yet we have a Mishnah that teaches me I only have that day to do Hafara. So Tanaihi, so Gemara says, Machloket Tanaim, Detanya, we learn in the Braisa, Hafar Nedarim Kol Hayom, Hafar Nedarim is the whole that whole day. He says, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, Rablazar, Rab Shimon Amru Mi'ed Lehi, 24 hours. So it's Machloka Tanaim, and we could say that the two statements represent different Tanaim. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely. What's up?
Let's say that the father hears about something from his daughter just as Shabbos starts.
Right.
Okay. And he wants to nullify it, but it's something that you can't nullify on Shabbos. But Shabbos is 25 hours, so the 24 hours would still—he'd still be inside Shabbos, wouldn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So the 24 hours—the way—the way I would say it like this is, theoretically, Shabbos is 24 hours, right? In other words, it's only because of the Sfeikot. We don't know when Shabbos begins and when Shabbos ends. That's why it's more than 24 hours, right? In other words, we don't know. In other words, like Beinah Shmashot is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. We don't know if it's day. We don't know if it's night. But theoretically, you know, on a Torah level, and like in the pie in the sky, Shabbos would just be 24 hours. That's why I assume. So as a practical matter, you might run into problems, but that's what I assume that the why you're that's I think the point you're touching on. You know, even if it's 24 hours, it may not cover you for a period after Shabbos. That's what I think what you're trying to articulate.
Right. Well, yeah. I guess if Shabbos is the demarcation, and technically she.
I'm saying if you assume Shabbos is 24 hours, you don't have a question anymore, right?
Right. No, but you know it's not. So that's my point. If she told him like 1 second before Shabbos or 1 second after Shabbos, by definition, his 24 hours is going to run out before Shabbos is over.
All right. Let me go on. Now, the Gemara has okay, the two lines before it gets wide. V'nishalim l'nedarim, so we said that we could do a she'ez chacham l'nedarim, yibay l'hu, shlo yalo panai, odilma afilo yalo panai. So we said, I could do a she'ez chacham on a neder on Shabbos if it relates to Tzorach Shabbos. So the Gemara says, does that mean I didn't have time to do it before Shabbos? Or even if I had time to do it before Shabbos, but I didn't bother, I could still do the she'ez chacham on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, tashma, as the kikule rabban on the Rav Zutra, b'rei the Rav Zemra, there was an incident where the Chachamim got involved with Rav Zutra, Braid Rav Zera, and they permitted his neder on Shabbos, even though he had time to do the Shela before Shabbos, they still got involved with him on Shabbos. All right, now we'll do the last story and then it'll be it. Shapaku at a ma'or b'tafiach v'kashu at a makeda b'gemi. So Mishnah said there was an incident where they blocked off a window with tafiach, with like this earthenware flask. And then they tied another earthenware vessel with a reed grass. So Amarav Yehuda Amarav, Hilkati Ketanai Tabin Shnei Batim. So I'm doing the way Rashi learns Peshat here. There was a small path between two houses. Betuma Haytasham. There was a dead body in the small path. Okay, that's the case the Mishnah is talking about. Turn page. We're on the top line on Kuvdon Zayin of Beis. Everybody with me? The Gigit Stuka Munachar Al Gaban. And there was this cracked barrel that was on top of the body. So the issue is going to be, he says, upakhu ura ma'or b'taviach. So when the guy was dying, I don't know, maybe he collapsed on Shabbos between the buildings, and somebody said, I think he's not going to live too longer. So they took this earthenware vessel and stuck it in the window. In other words, they're concerned that there's going to be this covering. In other words, I have the dead body, and I have this barrel that's like lodged between the buildings. So the barrel is going to be like an ohel. It's going to be an ohel. So the tumah has nowhere to go. The tumah, like, think of it as like gas. It has nowhere to go, or, you know, to go up through the barrel. So it's going to go in through the window. So they put this earthenware vessel in the window, and it means like the back of the earthenware vessel. The earthenware vessel is not mitame migabo, so it's chotzeitz b'fnei atuma. So the first part is, you see, they were able to like block off the window on Shabbos. That's the first thing, that they did that. In other words, anticipating that the person would die, they took the earthenware vessel and closed off the window. That's the first thing. He says, upakhuda mor b'tafiach, v'kashuda makeda begemi. Now, they tied this other earthenware vessel with the reed grass because they wanted to find out there was like a hole in the barrel. So if the hole is big enough, then we have no tumor problem because the tumor goes out. If there's a hole in the barrel, so it doesn't, it's not an OL anymore. So to see if the hole was big enough, they lowered like a fishing line, like with this reed grass. They lowered this other earthenware vessel. He says, they die, to find out it doesn't have a size of a tefach. Size of a tefach, we have no problem because the tumor is just going to go straight out. It won't go sideways. Okay. Let's see a little bit, another line or two, and that'll be it, and we'll summarize, and we'll hear from Rabbi Ismach in 1 minute. Okay. So from the words we learn, the Mishnah says that you're allowed to be pokek to seal the windows. Umodidim, you could measure, but kosher mishpat, tie on Shabbos. So it means when I'm measuring the tzorach mitzvah, so that I can measure the tzorach mitzvah. In other words, measuring on Shabbos, yeah, now I think it's time for Uvda Dechol. Measuring on Shabbos is considered to be an Uvda Dechol. I can't take out my ruler and measure on Shabbos. And even I think they say, even like to like count tiles if I want to measure feet, like I shouldn't do that on Shabbos. But if I'm trying to do it for a mitzvah, I want to see, is the mikvah large enough? Your mitzvah has to be, you know, one amah by three amot, or the other thing. What was the other place in the Mishnah they had? They were measuring the rag to see if it conveys tumah. So if there's a mitzvah aspect involved, I'm allowed to measure. Otherwise, I can't measure on Shabbos. And then kosher b'Shabbos, I could tie the gemi on Shabbos. In other words, because it's a kesher she'eno shel kayama. It's not a permanent kesher. And Rashi points out that the gemi is going to dry up and then break. And also, the gemi, I think we said, is also, it's one other thing. It's one second. Yeah, it's ma'achal behema. Ma'achal behema. So it's not going to remain there. It's going to be used for the animal food. All right, let me just do a little bit in the next line or two, then we're going to hear from Seth Wilson in a minute. So, ula ikla be resh kaluta, chazal rabba barabhuna diati va'avna demai v'kamashachle. So ula entered the house of the resh kaluta. He saw Rabbi Rahuna was sitting in a bathtub with a bath of water and measuring it on Shabbos. So I'll say this outside. And so he says that Chazal say you can only measure if it's for a tzorach mitzvah. You don't have a tzorach mitzvah here measuring this bath. So he says, I'm just measuring like stamazoy. I don't need the measurements. So he says, that's okay. Anyway, now let me hear, Rabbi Ismach, are you there, Rabbi Ismach? Okay.
Yes, I certainly am.
Okay, so first of all, we're very honored to have Rabbi Ismach here.
The honor is all mine.
He's beginning his new stage of his Rabbanus, and we wish him lots of mazel and bracha. And let's hear, he's going to give us some Divrei Torah now.
No, so I just wanted to spend 1 minute. You know, they tell a joke about Daf Yomi. It's the only joke told about Daf Yomi, so I'm sure you all know it. They say that after you learn Maseches Brachos, because everybody starts with Maseches Brachos, but Shabbos, Bamanucha, Bo Shabbos Bamanucha. I'm sure you've all heard that. Raise your hand if you've heard that joke. Comes Shabbos, everybody rests. You didn't hear that joke? All right, people. The problem is none of you got that joke. None of you understood the joke. The joke is that after brachos, we get so overwhelmed. Shabbos comes, and there's so much to learn, and there's so much to do. So, you know, you can't keep up. Who can keep up with Masechus Shabbos? But because none of you got that joke, somehow you all persevered all the way through Masechus Shabbos. And, you know, the same of the Makar for Siyam, and I've shared this before in Shul, the origin for Siyam is the Medrash of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech goes to sleep one night and he has a dream and he wakes up the next morning And what happens after over the course of that dream, he's promised whatever he wants, and he chooses wisdom of all of the things. And he now wakes up with all the wisdom, the ability to go and learn Kol HaTorah Kula. And he makes a suda in the morning, the Medrash recounts. He makes the suda. And so this suda that he makes, they say, Mikan Sha'osim Su'uda Begomra Shal Torah. From here we learn that you make a siyam when you finish Torah. Now the question, of course, is, he didn't finish the Torah. He now has the wisdom with which to finish the Torah. So how do we learn from there that that suda is for Gomra Shal Torah, when really all he did was begin? And so the answer that I think is correct is that when we think about what is the goal of a siyam, it's not just about the celebration of an accomplishment of finishing something, but really it's the empowerment that, look what I just did. Look what I was just able to pull off and accomplish. And if I could do it once, I believe that I can do it again. So after Maseches Brachos, a lot of people, it seems, have that ability. They can get to the end of Maseches Brachos. But then they say, Ba Shabbos, Ba Menucha. And this, I'm never going to get to Maseches Shabbos. But this group over here and the incredible efforts of Rabbi Goldstein and all of you, and there's no day off for Daf Yomi, all of you have pulled off something phenomenal. You have proven that a Siyam on Brachos empowered you to make another one on Shabbos, and make this Siyam, as many of you have already gone through this cycle and cycle and cycle already, may this empower you to do many more Masechtas, Lilmod, Lamed, Lishma, Velasos, to get through all of this and to have it all, as they say, get through you. Mazel tov to you all. Unfortunately, I have to run to a meeting now, so I'm going to miss the actual Siyam, but I just wanted to give my Divrei Bracha to you. You give Chizuk to me, and one of these days, I'm going to finish a Masechta in Daf Yomi, and I'm really excited to that, and I look at you all as inspiration. So have a good night, and mazel tov.
Shkoach, shkoach, shkoach to you. Shkoach. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy your meeting.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Rabbi Yismach. All right, let me mention one other thing. You know, I left something out from the Al Hadaf. There's a whole discussion about Kol Nidre that we'll be reciting soon. This Shabbos, we bench Rosh Chodesh Elul, and it's hard to believe that Yom Kippur is, about 50 days away. We said that we don't normally do Hatar Nedarim on Shabbos and presumably on Yom Kippur either. So he says the Ron explains that nullifying vows that do not pertain to Shabbos necessities is forbidden because it's considered a needless tircha exertion. So he mentions about Kol Nidre. It's understood by the Rush as an act of Hatarat Nedarim. He explains, however, that since one does not specify his vows during Kol Nidre, it does not release one from all his vows. Rather, it only releases one retroactively from vows that he's already transgressed so as to protect him from punishment for his past violations. So the Rush says it's like it did in Hataras Adarim, and then Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and maintains Kol Nidre does not serve to nullify one's past vows because it lacks several conditions required for Hataras Adarim. So he says in the footnotes that what it lacks, 186, he says it lacks, you need three Dayanim, you also need Charata, and the person has to be Mefaret and Eder. We don't have any of those at the Hataras Adarim. Unless you say the three people standing up there, but he says, rather he asserts a declaration regarding one's future vows. In other words, he's saying, I don't want to make vows in the future. This type of annulment is basically Gemara Nedarim. Now, the Rivash finds difficulty with the Rush's opinion Kol Nidre is a form of Hatarat Nedarim. Since our Mishnah says Hatarat Nedarim are not performed on Shabbos, unless the vow involves Shabbos necessity, presumably the same halakha pertains to Yantab and Yom Kippur. Why then, according to the Rush, is it permitted to cite Kol Nidre and Yom Kippur? So again, we said you can't do Hatarat Nedarim on Shabbos unless it relates to Sorach Shabbos. And yet we're doing, according to the Rush, Hatarat Nedarim on Yom Kippur. So how are we allowed to do that? That's the question. So he says an answer, again, this is from the Rivash. He says that since, according to the Rush, the recital of Kol Nidre serves to atone for the violations one past vows by retroactively nullifying them, is considered a Tzorach Hayom. In other words, I did Aveirot. I violated. That's why we have the Hatar Nedarim. So Tzorach Hayom, I need Kapara. So it is Tzorach Hayom. Alternatively, he says Kol Nidre should be recited before nightfall. You don't have the problem with Hatar Nedarim. Indeed, the Ramah says you cite it before nightfall. And I think Rav Lerner once gave a whole drasha based on the Rav. He wanted to say Hatar Nedarim was a din, like Hashem is also getting the Hatara. Like he made Xera, like the year should be one way. Now he's getting Hatar Nedarim the other way. All right. Now, let me just say a few words and then we'll wrap it up. So there's a Gemara Masechet Yevamah on Kuf Chaf Al Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, which Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin, who was the founder of Daf Yomi, he looked for different Gemaras where he saw Ramazim that related to the Daf Yomi. And when he had Daf Yomi, he threw out different Gemaras that he thought related to it. So it's a famous Gemara. I'm sure you've heard of it. We'll hear it again. So it says, Tanya Amar B'Gamliel Pamachat Iti Mahalek B'Sfina. It says, once I was traveling by boat, V'Iti Sfina Achat Shenishbara, and I saw another boat that had, I don't know, like it broken apart. It sounds like it sank. V'Iti Mitztar Lo Tamach Chacham Shaba. I was upset about a Tamach Chacham who was on that boat. Umanu Rabbi Akiva, Sha'alit Li Abashah, B'Abi Yashah B'Dal Lefanai B'Halacha. When I came to dry land, there's Rabbi Akiva, and he's busy arguing with me about Divrei Halacha. He says, Amarti Lo B'ni Mihalcha. Who brought you on to dry land? How did you get here? Last I saw you were sinking. So Amarli, Daf Shal Sfina is Damainli, that I encountered a Daf Shal Sfina, which means like a plank of the boat, every like wave that came over me, I like bent my head, and then the Gemara says, from here Chazal teaches if like Rishon come on the person, he should like sort of like go with the flow and let it roll over him. So Meir Shapiro thought it was like related to the Daf Yomi, like you hold on to the Daf. You have the daf, you know, I grabbed onto the daf. He says, what happened to you? He says, I encountered a daf. I encountered a board, a plank. But the daf is the daf Gemara. If you hold on just one minute, Sal, you hold on to the daf, it carries you through. So this Masechta, we began a few days before this whole COVID nightmare, you know, crashed here in New York. We began it right before Purim, we began the Daf Yomi, and on a Sunday. And then it quickly everything became a big mess, and it's been a very, very, very difficult number of months. But the daf, I think, has really carried us through. In other words, you always have the daf. As miserable as things got outside, and they were even more miserable then than they are now, and there were times we couldn't leave at all, go to shul, and everything was, and unfortunately, you know, people unfortunately died as a result of this, and other people got seriously ill. But we always had the daf. And the daf keeps you through. So it's a very nice idea for a person to keep up with the daf. And then I always encourage people, learning is always good, and you have kvias is also important, but if you learn with a group, it's even better. In other words, Chazal say, if you learn with a chavrusa, you learn with a shir, that's infinitely better than learning by yourself. So I really want to give a big yesh koach, first of all, to all the Mesaimim. Let me see, I had a list. Do I have them here? I don't know if I have my list with me. One second, let me see if I have the list here. Otherwise, I'll just, let me see. Let me see if I have the list. One minute. What did I do with the list? Okay, give me one second. Let me say, I think I have the list here. One second. Okay, we have our list. Let me read all the Mesaimim out. We have Sal Berger, Emmanuel Dicker, Louis Sobrani, Michael Frank, David Jacob, Tani Jacob, Emil Katan, Adam Katz, Arthur Kirsch, Malka Luzun, Mark Katzman, Scott Mathias, Alan Masaryk, Yosef Rachmani, Fred Raven, Fern Resmovitz, Ruth Seif, Mark Shane, Ari Spodek, Robin Tobin Hess, Livy Weiss, Odade Weiss, Ira Wolf, Seth Wilson, Robert Zalsman. So yesh koach to all of you. It's a big accomplishment for each one of you. And if you weren't Messiah, it's also big.
And Larry Stiffman.
Larry also. So Larry, yesh koach is you as well, Larry. And Larry, I know, has done all of Shas, and it's nice to have you here for this.
And Yerushalmi.
And Yerushalmi. All right. Now, so I think what we're going to do, we're going to try to...
Whoa. We also, I think, as a group, have to thank you for all of your effort and learning that keeps us going. I mean, without you, I don't think any of us would be signed up for this. So, Eric, you get a yasha koek from our group.
Yeah. And dealing with the technology.
Thank you.
With the technology, getting the headphone.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Yeah, I did get the headphone from Mayor Abitan during this whole thing, so you don't have the crickets. All right. Now, Seth is going to be Messiah. Now, Aaron Gershon, can you do the Hadron Aaron Gershon or not? No? Okay. So in that case, Michael, are you still there, Michael? Michael Frank? Michael, are you there? Michael? No. All right. Let me see. Where is 177777? Is Alan Masaryk still here or not? Oh, Alan, there you are. Alan, so I think it's meant that you do the Hadron, okay? So you do the Hadron. When you get to the verbs, you'll make it plural, that we'll learn in Tazreinu Lahachil Masechtot. And then Robert is going to begin the first lines of Erevin. We can't do a Kaddish with the Zoom, but I think that's the way we'll do it. Okay, Seth, it's all yours, Seth. Let's hear.
Where do we start from?
uses the last couple of lines. One second. So you could. One second. Why don't you begin with Ula Ikla the Bay Resh Galuta? Go ahead.
Ula Ikla the Bay Resh Galuta. Hazei the Rabah Bar Rav Huna. Diativ be. I knew Enu Ravuna de Maye Vika Masa La. Imar de Amri Ramanan Le Midra.
Wait. Let's get sipped. Amar Le.
Right.
You sip those words. Amar Le. Amar de Amri Ramanan.
Sorry. Amar Le. Imar de Amri Ramanan. Right?
Right.
Midra de mitzvah, de la mitzvah, mi amor. Amar le, mita sek, be'alma ana. That's it, right?
That's it. Now, just read Hadron Alach, read one more line. Hadron Alach.
Hadron Alach, mi she hakshik.
Uslikala.
V'slicha la mitzvah Shabbat.
Masechet Shabbat.
It's Masechet Shabbat.
Okay. Alan, you're on.
All right. Hadron Aloch, Masechet Shabbos, Hadron Alon, Vajach Alon, Daiton Aloch, Masechet Shabbos, Daiton Alon, La Nishneshem Inach, Masechet Shabbos, La Nishneshem Inon, La Baal Mahadon, La Hamadase. He wrote something from
that. No. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Adonai Elohim v'leiv v'senu shetehei tzoris chayim v'nasenu b'alam v'seh v'tei manu l'alam haba.
No, wait, you're supposed to say the Hadron three times. Hadron Alach.
Okay, excuse me, I'm sorry. Hadron Alach, Masech HaShabz, Hadron Chalon, Daitan Alach, Masech HaShabz, Daitan Chalon, Lanis Nishem Inach, Masech HaShabz, Lanis Nishem Inan, Laba Alma Hadein, V'laba Alma Dazein. Hadron Alach, Masech HaShabz, Hadron Chalon, Daitan Malach, Masech HaShabz, Daitan Chalon, Lanish Nashem Inach Masech Shabbos, Lanish Nashem Inan, La Baal Mahadein, Bela Baal Madasa. Yiratzon Fanecha, Adonai Lohen, Vali Vesenu, Shetei Soros Chai, Manasenu Baal Amaze, Usei Manu Lalam Haba, Hanina Bar Papa, Rami Bar Papa, Nachman Bar Papa, Achai Bar Papa, Abba Mach Bar Papa, Rafram Bar Papa, Rachish Bar Papa, Sukha Bar Papa, Ada Bar Papa, Daru Bar Papa. Harevna Adonai Lohen, with Divrei Soros Chai, Befinu, Hifios, Amcha, Beis Israel, Below some to Halkenim Yeshve Koronis, Anu Mashkimim, Behem Mashkimim, Anu Mashkimim, Lidivre Torah, Behem Mashkimim, Lidvarim Betelim, Anu Amelim, Behem Amelim, Anu Amelim, Lukalim Schar, Behem Amelim, Behenam, Lukalim Schar, Anu Ratzim, Behem Ratzim, Anu Ratzim, Lachayalam Fa, Behem Ratzim, Liver, Shachas, Shenemar, Vatalohim, Toridim, Liver, Shachas, Anche Damim, Umirma, Lo Yechatsu, Yemehem, Bani of Tachbach. Yutzon of Benecha, Adonai, Lohai. James says, "Artanu l'sayim masecha Shabbos kain tazreinu la'asfil masechtos esforam machreim l'saimam l'ilmod l'lamid lishma l'asos l'kaim is called divrei talmud torasecha be'ava uschos kol atanoim v'amoraim v'amtechamim yamud lanu l'zareinu l'shelo samushator mipi
zareinu mipinu
zareinu zera zareinu adolam v'siskayim banu v'his halachtecha v'his halachka Tanche, Osach, Bishachbucha, Bakisosa, Hitasichecha, Ki, Vanu Yabu, Yamecha, Yosifel Hash, Noschaim, Orach Yamim, Bimino, Smola, Oshavavavod, Adonaios, Lamo Yitain, Adonaivarech, Samova Shalom.
Yeshkoach. You know, I want to mention one more thing. We're very grateful that Sal Berger is here with us, that Kana Nahara, you know, we all know he was in the hospital. Sal, we're very grateful that you're here with us. Kana Nahara, you're doing very well. We wish you continued refuah shleima. And we're also grateful he's the one who dedicated the whole Daf Yomi. It's the Berger Daf Yomi. So, and we hope that you continue many more years in good health, Sal.
Anyway, Amen.
Okay, and also, I should mention with that incident with the board, you know, I remember David Pelkovitz also mentioned to me once that, like, it's like in life, that's where you have to go. You hold on, and the things go along, and you go with the flow. Okay, let's hear from Robert, and then that'll be for Shabbos. Now we're on to Eruvin.
Gavoa Shahu Gavoa Lamahala Sarim Ama Emaid Rabbi Yehuda Amer. You know, Sarik Gaharov Maaser Amot Emaid. The Im Yesh Lo Tsuras A Pesach Af Alpi Shahu Ra Rachav Maaser Amot Ain Sarik Lamaid.
All right, you want to translate that at all or not?
I could read it in English.
Well, take whatever you got.
If an alleyway is enclosed on three sides with courtyards opening into it from the three sides, and the fourth side opens into a public domain, it is prohibited by rabbinic law to carry objects in it on Shabbat. However, carrying in an alleyway under those circumstances is permitted if a crossbeam is placed horizontally over the entrance to the alleyway. The Mishnah teaches that the crossbeam spans the entrance to an alleyway at a height above 20 cubits. One must diminish the height of the crossbeam so that it is less than 20 cubits. Rabbi Yehuda says he need not diminish it since the crossbeam enables one to carry in the alleyway even at that height.
All right, very nice. Okay, so it's wonderful learning with all of you. I hope you'll all join me for Eruvin beginning tomorrow night. And, you know, there's a friend of mine, Zachary Green, he's a rab, but he quoted, like, you know, like, the Mashiach will come when Ani Rocheva La Tono, when Ani rides on, like, you know, the Mashiach will come will be Ani Rocheva La Tono, like a poor man riding on his donkey, but Ani is Eruvin, Nedarim, some say, and Yavamo. Those are the three most difficult Masechtos. When everybody knows those Masechtos, so Mashiach will come. All right, so it's nice having everybody, and I hope to see everybody.
Is it Nedarim or Nida?
Thank you.
So some say it's Nida. You're right. Some Nida is the more popular thing. Then others say in Nedarim. You're right. Nida. Right. Okay. All right. I'll see everybody. All right. Let me. Yeah.